Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right. Well, here we go. We're in our series, Raised to Life, and we started this on Easter Sunday. And aren't you glad that Jesus, the Son of God, that He came, that He died, and He rose again. Amen? He rose again. And that's what we celebrated on Easter. But the good news is that He didn't do that just so we can have a holiday. He didn't do that just so we can be, hey, it's Easter. Everybody get together for dinner. Let's eat some candy. Way too much, right? Let's get out the peeps. How many love peeps? I personally do not like peeps. My brother is he loves peeps. I don't like peeps. They're a little too peep for me. But how about a Reese egg? Come on now, Reese cup egg. Let's talk about that for a minute. No, but Jesus didn't come just so we could have a holiday. He came so that we could be raised to life. Amen. He walked out of the tomb so that we could walk out of death, destruction in our life. And the Bible tells us, we've got our scripture here, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. Out of the New King James, it says, Jesus is talking and He says, I am He who lives and was dead. Say, was dead.
Was dead.
Was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus gives Himself an amen. And then He says, I have the keys of Hades and of death. And so it's so powerful. We got to get that. Sometimes we can just look over that part and say, oh, He was the one that was dead, but now He's alive. But when He walked out of that tomb, when He conquered death, He conquered death, not just for Himself, but for us. Amen? And so when we see that He has the keys, that means He has the authority.
Right.
And so we've been talking these last couple weeks about being raised to life. Last week we talked about how powerful it is that you were once dead, the Bible says, in your sins and your trespasses. How many got some of those, right? If your neighbor didn't raise their hand, you know, just look at him and be like, uh-huh, right. Right, because we all have mistakes, we all have a past, we all have all that. And so when we get born again, we get raised to life. We are raised up out of that old man that we used to be. And the Bible says that a brand new creation is created in us. We become brand new.
Yes,
and that's what baptism represents, that we go down into the water. That's a representation of the grave. We go down in there and we are raised to a brand new life with Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news? And so when we think about that being raised to life, what I want to talk to you today about is that there's a lot of times we can be alive. How many look at your neighbor and they look alive today? Look alive, people, look alive, right? Most of you look alive. Some of you are just like, you realize I can see you, right? I mean, you get that? I can see you, and you can see me. But, you know, sometimes we can be alive, but there can be things that are either dead or dying in our lives. Isn't that the truth? There can be things that are dead or dying in our life. And so I told you at the beginning of this series, we're going to talk about how the power of God, the power of the resurrection that's now in you, it's not just a one day a year power, it's an all the time power. The power of the resurrection is now in you. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, in me. And so that power is there to raise to life things that are either dead or dying in our lives. And I know all of us in here have been through things. We've all been through things. And so today we're going to talk about that life can be pretty tough. How many, you know, you can say amen to that because it's true. Life can be pretty tough, but thank God we got a God who's bigger and tougher. Amen. We got a God who's bigger and tougher. And so Jesus has the keys. He has the power. And it's now in us to raise to life those dead relationships, those dead emotions, those dead finances, or maybe they're just dying. You know, a lot of times, you know, just in talking to people, you talk to people and they say, you know, I just feel empty inside. I know God. I love God. I come to church. But I still feel empty inside. I feel like there's nothing going on in there. You know what's happening? You're dying emotionally. Your soul is dying. You know, life can, if you're not careful, life can suck the life out of you. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Life can suck the life out of you. And so we've got to make sure that we're dealing with life with the power we got. Amen. Let's deal with life with the power we got. We got the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And so it can help raise to life those things that, because life is hard and life is difficult and life happens. And it can raise to life those things that feel like they're either dead or they're dying. Because that's not why Jesus didn't come to leave you like that. Jesus came to raise you from that. Amen? Amen. And you know, and sometimes when people talk about storms in life and hard times, sometimes you can look at them and just be like, what do you know? You don't know anything about my life. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've felt. You don't know what I've been through. And then we discount whatever they say. We discount whatever they say. And you can really do yourself a disservice to do that. Because God can use anybody to speak to you, whether they have your past or they don't. Somebody doesn't have to have been where you've been to be able to help you get somewhere different. Amen? I've never been to California, but I could tell you how to get there. Right? I got Google Maps. I can tell you how to get anywhere. Right? I can tell you how to get anywhere. And the Word of God, it can tell you how to get anywhere too. Amen? But you know, just so you can say, I got a little bit of a right to talk about storms. Maybe my storm isn't your storm, but let me tell you what happened to my family. You know, there was a time not very long ago, my mom started acting weirder than normal. You know, she was always pretty weird, but she started acting weirder than normal. And we didn't know, but I'll tell you how. I mean, my mom was the kind of person that if she was wrong, she'd rather, my dad would say, you could drag her behind the car and she'd still say she's right. You know, because she's just a hard head like that, you know, just like that. And so one time, she volunteered for my brother at his church. My brother pastors a church too. Not as good as ours, I mean, really. I'm kidding, he's got a great church. But anyway, so my mom volunteered there and she had put all these letters and my brother told her to mail them, right? And so she did all these letters and she mailed them. Well, they all came back because not one of them had a stamp on it. So when my brother goes to my mom and says, Mom, you didn't put any stamps on the letters. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. He's like, Mom, there are no stamps on any letter. Somebody took them off. Somebody took them off, right? I mean, if you knew my mom, right, you know, she's just like, I certainly did. Somebody stole them. Somebody stole every stamp off of every letter. So, you know, my brother tells me the story, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad she volunteers for you and not for me, you know. I already did my time. She volunteered for me before, you know. It's your turn now. But see, what we didn't know, because that was more crazy than she normally was, you know. That was a little more crazy. What we didn't know, and we can laugh about it now, but at the time, you know, when we found out, we all felt pretty bad. My mom had brain cancer, and it made her crazier than normal. And, you know, and we joke about it now, but it wasn't funny then. So my mom gets diagnosed with brain cancer, and, you know, not a very good prognosis. So she begins treatment. And then in the midst of that, my sister has a cold that won't go away. Now, my sister, I could tell you some stories, but I won't. But my sister had a rough life. Man, God came in and turned her life around. She was so on fire for God the last years of her life. And so she got a cold, just a cold. Taking my mom to radiation every day. Then my sister goes in the hospital. My sister's in the hospital, and while she's in the hospital, she's getting sicker and sicker. Nobody can understand why she's getting sicker. Turns out later we found out she had the H1N1 virus that she caught in the hospital. My sister died the day after Thanksgiving. My mom is dying. I remember saying to my brother as I was driving to a store to buy a scarf for my mom because her hair all fell out. I'm driving to the store and I said, I never thought this day would happen. I'm driving to get my mom, who's dying of cancer, something to put on her bald head to go to my sister's funeral, who died unexpectedly. So don't tell me I don't know what tough times are. And then just a few months after that, my uncle, who we were very close to, lived right around the corner from us, grew up with, went to dinner every Saturday night for years with, died in his driveway. So I know what tragedy is. I know what it feels like to feel like the wave just keeps hammering you and hammering you and hammering you, and you feel like you can't breathe. I know what that feels like. And I know that you do too. But I also know what it feels like to have God reach down into what feels like an overwhelming situation and breathe life into you. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to have what feels like, how are we going to get through this? We just got through the loss of my brother. And now this. And you think, how am I going to get through this? Because God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for us, he pulls us through and pulls us out and breathes life into you and heals broken hearts and does what no one else, no matter how many people say, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Or they say, well, this is what I love the most. God had a plan. You know, and you know, and I used to be nice about it, but now I'm just like, yes, and this wasn't it.
Exactly. Amen.
This wasn't it. God's plan is not to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the enemy's. And usually they're like, whoa, because they mean well, they just don't know anything. You know, a lot of people mean well, but they know nothing. You say you've met that person, right? I've met that person. But the thing is that no matter what people say, and people say that time heals, yes, time does heal, but time only heals when you've got God involved. Because there's a lot of people that let lots and lots of time go and no healing takes place, and the rest of their life is robbed and ruined by the plan the enemy had. And so, yes, time will heal as long as Jesus is involved. Amen. We need Jesus. And so when we're thinking about storms, I want to talk to you a little bit about storms today. Because if you're here today and you're like all of us, there's nobody in here that hasn't had some kind of tragedy. Some kind of loss. And you think, well, theirs is nothing compared to mine. Life is not a competition. It's a journey we do together. Amen. It's not a competition. Who's been hurt the worst? I don't want to win that, right? Amen. I don't want to win that competition. If it was, we could all say that Jesus has already won it for us. Amen. Because none of us have carried the sin of the world on us. None of us has died on the cross for the sins of the world. None of us have gone into hell and taken the keys of death and Hades for us. Amen. So if anybody has the winner of the toughest life, we're going to give it to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so let's just say he wins and I'm in the journey with him. Amen. Stop trying to be a competition, because when you try to make it a competition, you're going to make yours bigger than it needs to be. Amen. That's just good preaching. I'm going to amen myself. Amen, Peggy. Good job. Woo! Hey, if Jesus can amen himself, you know, he set a good example there. Amen, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, I am alive forevermore. Amen, right? And so when we're thinking of storms, we're thinking of stuff that happens in our life, you know, one of the persons that we can look to in the Bible and say, okay, this guy's got a right to talk. This guy has a right to talk, and that's Paul. I mean, think about Paul. He's thrown in jail numerous times. He's beaten. He's stoned with rocks. Hello, you got to clarify that nowadays. He's stoned with rocks. He didn't get a break. So I'm like, oh, that was a break. No, different thing. He's stoned with rocks. He's left for dead. He's shipwrecked. He's snake bit. Everybody turns on him. I mean, this guy, he has been through a lot. But yet when you read his letters, he never loses hope. We can learn so much from him. We can learn how to overcome the tragedies of life. We can learn how to overcome the loss of a job, the loss of our how we think things should have been. Sometimes we're still mourning because things haven't turned out the way we thought they should have. And there's a time to mourn. Don't skip that step. If you skip that step, it's going to pop up later. It's like that whack-a-mole game. You know, if you skip it, it's going to pop up. It's going to pop up, and you're going to be like, man, what the heck is this? It's the step you skipped. There's a time to mourn, but you got to let God mourn with you. The Bible says that God mourns with those who mourn. He weeps with those who weep. God wants to be there with you through everything, through the mourning and the joy that is to follow. And sometimes we feel like after storms hit, and sometimes those storms, you know, they're mistakes that we've caused, we've done through, you know, jobs and finances and relationships, and we think, I've got to pay for this. You need permission to move on. And God gives it to you through his word. You've got permission from God himself to move on from mistakes and tragedy and storm and enjoy your life yet again. Amen. You have permission from God himself to do that. Because sometimes we think, well, if I move on, I'm not paying enough for what I've done. Or if I move on, I'm not honoring what has happened. If I move on, I'm not remembering. No, moving on is the best honor you can give to someone. Amen. Moving on is the best example you can set for anybody in your life after you've totally 100% screwed up and blown your life. Moving on and moving into the joy God has for you is the best thing you can do. And if anybody looks at you with any other attitude, walk away. Because they're one of those people that mean well, but they don't know anything. Amen?
Yeah.
And so here's the thing about storms. We can look over in Acts 27. Look over there if you would. Acts 27. I believe this message is for us. It's for our church. It's for the people here because, you know, we've had a lot of stuff happen. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life is unfair. But God is here. Amen?
Amen.
You got to turn to him. And so here in Acts 27, this is what happens with Paul. Verse number 13, it says, when a gentle south wind began to blow. Doesn't that sound nice and sweet? A gentle south wind began to blow. This sounds like everything's going to be good. They thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. You know, and this might be, you might be right here, right now today. This is you. The storm has come. Started out as a good day, a soft, gentle wind. But then maybe a phone call came. Maybe a meeting happened. Maybe a mistake happened. Maybe you fell back into something. Whatever it was, whatever that hurricane force, strength, wind that came, it started rocking your boat, started battering your life. You are in a storm. And see, the thing that happens a lot of times, and we see these guys, they start throwing over the cargo. And you know what? That's what we do sometimes. In a storm and in the aftermath of a storm, we start throwing out what matters most to us. Because we feel like we can't deal with anything else. I can't deal with anything. You got to go. This has got to go. And maybe we don't do it intentionally, but we start damaging relationships. We're throwing out that cargo. We're throwing out the tackle. That's what they needed to survive. That's all the stuff to make all the sales work. They start throwing it out. See, we got to be careful that in the storm, we don't throw out what's important.
Amen.
That's good. Amen. You know, sometimes in a financial storm, people immediately stop giving.
Yep.
That is the worst thing to do. Because when you stop doing the word of God, you stop the power of God.
Amen.
Do you get that? When you stop doing the word, you stop the power of the word. And so sometimes, I'll never forget Brother Lee, you know. Brother Lee, he was awesome. I miss him. He used to sit right up here on the front row. A lot of you guys don't know him, but he would sit up here and he would amen louder than anybody, and sometimes he'd even startle me as amens. Whoa, okay, you know, he'd wake me up, you know. And but one time, Brother Lee, when the recession hit, how many remember that? It's like in 2005, you know, the recession hit. We were just coming off of hurricanes. Remember, we had hurricane after hurricane. It was just a tough time financially for everybody and for the church. And Brother Lee stood up, and he had had a word from the Lord. And he said, I'll never forget this, and I am reminded of it when things start getting skinny. You know what that means, when things start getting skinny, right? You know, you start thinking like, talking about every dollar. You know, there's times you're like, oh, yeah, let's go here, let's do that. And then there's other times, hold up, let's think about this now. What do we got at home we can eat, right? And so things were a little skinny. And Brother Lee got up and he shared a word that he received. And he said, now this may seem strange to you, but this is Bible. Amen. This is just a prophet of God speaking what he saw for us. And so he got up and he said that he saw, and we all knew Brother Lee long enough to know that when he said it, we believed it. Because he was just accurate and just used by God. He saw these big black birds, and they were coming and they were stealing everybody's grain, their money, basically. And he said that as people, when we kept our hands open, and what that meant was we continued to do what God told us to do. We continued to sow. We continued to give. We continued to do the word, that the birds couldn't steal what we had. But as soon as we closed our hands, we stopped giving. The birds ate up everything around us. And it was such a powerful word. And at a time where, man, we're counting every dollar to pay the light bill, every dollar to pay the mortgage. We're just, you know, because people in the church were out of work. It was just a very hard time. But you know what? Our orphanage in Guatemala still needed money. We still had a call on our lives to be tithers and givers. And so, man, those checks were tough to write, but we wrote them, and God got us through so powerfully, so strong. We had some of the best financial months ever. Other churches were closing down. That was the truth. And we were like, praise God. You know, a church called us and said, there's somebody in our church, they need $169 for their water bill. We don't have it to give them. Could you give it? Other churches were calling us and saying, could we help their people? And we were like, we'll do it. We'll do it because we want to keep our hands open. We didn't want to throw over, even though we're in a storm, we're not going to throw over the Bible principles of giving. We're not going to throw over precious cargo. We're not going to throw over our tackle. Don't throw over what you need because you're in the storm. Don't throw out the people in your life. Don't close yourself off and say, I'm done. I can do no more. That is not an option if you want to live again.
Amen.
If you want to live again. It's not an option. In that storm, we've got to make sure that we keep what's precious, that we keep what's necessary. Because we can read down further, and we won't do it for the sake of time, but Paul stood up and Paul said, I told you guys not to leave. Don't you love a told you so person?
Yeah.
I told you not to do it, right? Everybody's a prophet the day after, right? That is funny. But Paul really was. He said, I told you guys not to leave, but now that we're here, he said, the angel of the Lord appeared to me, and not one of you will lose your life if you stay on the ship. If you stay on the ship, not one will lose your life. And we can read the rest of the story. At times, it looked like they even lowered the lifeboat at one time because they thought they were going to hit rocks. And men began to get on the lifeboat. And Paul said, he said, if those men leave this ship, they will lose their life. And so they cut the lines to the lifeboat and sent it out. And they stayed on the ship. Because that's what God said to do. You got to stay through the storm. Don't jump ship. Stick with God. Amen. He'll get you through. Amen. He'll get you through. But you can't throw the word over. You can't throw church out. Sometimes it's like when things are tough, it's like, oh, let's stay home. What's staying home going to do? Maury Povich cannot help you. Amen. Oprah cannot help you. It cannot help you. You know what helps you? The word helps you. The presence of God helps you. Yeah. That's why it's not the time. Don't throw out church because things are hard. Go extra. Amen. You need it. Come on. And so when we think about the storms, here's the thing about storms. Number one is that storms are inevitable. They're inevitable. They're going to happen. You've either been through one, you're in one, or you're going to be in one. And you say, oh, I'm so glad I came to church for that positive message. Amen. It's the truth. But the good thing is you got a Paul with you just like they had a Paul with them. Right. He's right here in the word. Yes. Amen. And the thing is that in John 16:33, Jesus himself said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Whatever trouble you've got, we got to look at it and say, Jesus already warned me about you. He already warned me about you, and he told me that he's overcome you already. So as long as I stick with him, I'm going to be okay.
That's right.
Amen? Next thing about storms is they're unpredictable. They're unpredictable. You know, I'll never forget sitting in the church office, and we had just been closed down for a hurricane, and, you know, no church, and just, you know, it's just a crazy time, And if no church, then no finances. No finances, can't pay bills. How many know church has bills just like you have bills? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting in the church office, and we're sitting there, and Pastor Norm, myself, Scott, and I forget who else was there, and I think John Clark was there, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden the news report comes, there's another hurricane coming. Another, and guess what? Hurricanes is the devil. They always try to hit on Sunday, you know? And so it comes, and we were all just sitting there, and somebody came out and told the news report, and we sat there, and God is my witness, we all just started laughing. We started laughing because it was just so preposterous that another hurricane was coming, and as we laughed, the Holy Ghost swept in. We ended up having a Holy Ghost meeting right there with just us. We got up, we ran, we jumped, we shouted, we proclaimed that we had the victory, that God would get us through, and I'll tell you, we never sweated it. The hurricane came. It came. And we didn't have church. And we didn't have power over here. But I tell you, we had peace.
Amen.
We had peace. We had peace because instead we had two, there's two roads you can take. In that moment when that report came and we're all just sitting there, at first it shocked us, like, seriously. That's how we all felt. We just sat there with our eyes open, like, and those thoughts come. How are we going to get through? What, right? What are we going to do? How are we going to get through? What's going to happen? Why is this happening? Why me? You know, all that. And then we just one of us just began to laugh. And everybody just chose to laugh. We chose it. We chose to laugh. And as we chose to just trust in the joy and the power of God, just holy laughter came over us. And at a time when we should have been crying, we were literally on the floor, uncontrollably crying, laughing, just crying tears of from laughing so hard. If someone would have walked in, they would have thought we were crazy. But I'll tell you, that moment got us through. It got us through. And I know there's a scripture in Job. A lot of people, everybody knows about Job, but there's a scripture in there you may not know where he says, at great destruction, you shall, say it, Pastor Steve, laugh. Pastor Steve always quotes that scripture. 5:22, at great destruction, you shall laugh. Say, how can you laugh at that? Because there is a joy and a peace that comes from the inside that says, this is bad. We don't deny that something is bad, but it's a knowledge, it's a joy that says, God's going to get me through. Amen. God's going to get me through. Devil, you think you got me, but God's going to get me through. Amen? And so storms are unpredictable. Jeremiah 4:20 says, disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. Storms are unpredictable. Things happen. Life happens. And of course, we pray protection over us, and God does protect us, and God does help us. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a cursed world, so to speak. And so when storms come, when natural, literal storms come, and hurricanes come, and tornadoes come, we plead the blood and we stand on the word, but there is still destruction around us, and it affects us. And so when we think about storms, we got to realize they're unpredictable, and the next thing is, no, is they're impartial. A lot of times the question somebody asks immediately is, why me? Why me? Well, because you live here. You're part of this world. And the enemy's after you just like he's after everybody else. Matthew 5:45 says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. I love Matthew 25 where both houses are built on the rock, but both houses get rain, both houses get wind, both houses, the Bible says the rain beat on that house. But here's the difference. The house that's built on the rock, built on the word, doesn't throw everything overboard when soon as trouble comes. The house that stands on the word of God, the Bible says that it still stands. No matter what has happened to you, no matter what tragedy, no matter what destruction, no matter what hurt, no matter what pain, you can live again. Amen? You can laugh again. You can have joy again. You can have success again. You can have again what you have lost. Amen. You can have it. Amen. The wind, the thing about storms, next thing is that they're temporary. Yeah. They're temporary. You know, my pastor, Pastor Tim Gilligan, who I consider my pastor, he wrote a book and he preaches on it all the time, that life is like seasons. It changes. You know, we're getting ready to go into spring. Now in Florida, we can't really recognize that. It's like, it's always sunny here, you know? But the thing is, life is in seasons. And whatever you're going through, you got to remind yourself you're going through it. That's right. You're going through it. I'm going through this. If you're mourning, you're going through it. If you're going through, you know, disappointment and maybe betrayal or all those things, you're going through it. You're going through it. You can make it through. The Bible, what do we say in Psalms 23? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen? Amen? That rod is going to beat off anybody that's trying to come for you again. Right. Amen? Amen? And that staff is going to comfort you and keep you on path, keep you on straight path. Yeah. Jesus is with us, but we got to make sure we don't toss him overboard when we need him most. And it's human nature to say, when storms and tragedy comes, to just try to get into yourself and close off from everybody. It's human nature. It's throwing everything overboard. Listen, if you threw something overboard, go in and get it. Get it back. If you threw your relationship with God overboard, get it back. Amen? If you quit doing what God told you to do, start doing it. Get it back. Stay on that ship. And Paul said, not a hair on your head will be harmed. Stay on that ship. Let God bring you through. Amen? Let God bring you through. Storms are temporary. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Persevere. Persevere. Don't quit. And when you feel like quitting, that's why you got people that come and say, let me lift you up. Yeah. Amen. Let me help you. Yeah. Let me hold you. Let me stand for you. Yes. There are times that we don't have the strength to stand on our own. That's why we're part of a body. You know, if my hand was up here and this is the only part of me that was here, it couldn't do anything on its own. It can't stand on its own. It can't do anything on its own. But that's exactly what we are as the body of Christ. We need each part to hold each other up. Because there are times when your legs are sore, so what do? You sit down. There are times when you can't raise your arms. What happened when Moses couldn't raise his arms? Aaron came and raised them for him. Amen? That's part of being in the body. Don't throw out your relationship with God. Don't throw out your relationship with the church body when you're in a storm. This is when you need it most. Amen? This is when you need it most. And so when we think about being raised to life again, man, we need to look at some things, some dreams, and some relationships, and our finances, and things that are in our life, and ask ourselves, is this thing on life support? Let's pump some life back into it. You know, when's the last time you had a good belly laugh? I mean, just one of those laughs where you need a Kleenex because your eyes are watering so bad. My sister Linda, I'll tell you a funny story about her. You know, we used to love to pick on her because it was just so easy. It was so easy. She used to talk during all the TV shows. So we would say when she wasn't around, we'd say, don't be a Linda. Don't talk during the TV show, right? Don't be a Linda, right? That's just some words of advice for everybody. And so then one day, by accident, she was there and somebody was talking and we said, don't be a Linda. And she was like, hey, what does that mean? But my sister Linda, she would laugh so hard that she would pass out. True story. My sister, she would get to laughing, and she had a great laugh. She would get to laugh, and we'd be playing cards. We loved to play games in our family and hang out. And we'd be playing. We were playing a game one time, and somebody said something funny, and she started laughing. And so she's laughing, and ah, ha, ha. And the next thing we know, she's like this. Is that not the truth? And so she passed out because she was laughing so hard. That's a good laugh, right? You know you are laughing hard when you pass out because you've been laughing so hard. And so we got used to it because she did it all the time. And so we just, be like, hello, hello, and she'd come back around. But the thing is that you got to ask yourself, when's the last time you had just a good belly laugh? Where you just the joy of the Lord. And just on the inside where you just felt that joy. Well, you know what? That's exactly what Paul says is the key. Because we read over here in Philippians chapter 1. And here's the thing about the book of Philippians you may not know. Paul was on his way to do a crusade, to preach the gospel. And he got arrested. And he was thrown in a Roman prison. And a Roman prison doesn't look anything like any prison we've seen. It was more like a dungeon. He wasn't there for 1 or 2 days. He was there for 2 years. 2 years. And because of that imprisonment, we have the book of Philippians. He wrote this book while he's imprisoned in a Roman dungeon. You know what Philippians is all about? The word joy is in Philippians more times than any other book of the Bible. The continual theme of Philippians is the joy of the Lord. And he wrote this in prison.
Come on now.
Amen? And so if we can learn from anybody how to get through a storm, it's somebody that can teach us about the joy of the Lord while he's sitting in a prison for 2 years, right? And so here he tells us the first key, we want to live again. How many want to live again? You got some stuff you want to live again. You want to quit letting the past beat us up. Quit letting our past mistakes rob us of a future God has for us. You know, here's the thing about God. He knew you were going to screw up. God saw that day that you did what nobody else knows. God saw that day. He was there. But yet he still called you, still loved you, still died for you, even though he saw that day. So if God can overcome that day, and he's given you the power to overcome, that means you can overcome that day too. Amen? You can overcome what has happened. And Paul tells us in Philippians 1:2, he says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." What a great attitude he had. He never said, don't fall over in that trap where you think God does bad things. No, no, no. God turns bad things. He turns bad things for good. And that's exactly what he did here, because Paul goes on to tell us that he was preaching the gospel to all of the jailers, all of the prisoners, all the people in jail. He's preaching the gospel. And the crusade that he was going to do, it still happened because he sent people to do it. So Paul said, listen, this happened, but you know what? It's really served to advance the gospel. Because he said, everyone here knows I am in chains because of Jesus. I am in chains because of Jesus. And so the first thing we got to do is quit trying to figure out why. Don't get caught up in the whys. Listen, we all have some whys for Jesus when we get to heaven. How many got some whys? You want to know why?
Yeah.
Why did that happen? Why didn't this happen? One of the most common ones, why didn't that person get healed? Why did this happen? We all have those whys. And if you're not careful, you'll let those whys keep you in a storm. There are some things you just gotta realize. Number one, God's ways are higher than yours. We don't like to say that, but it's the truth. And God knows, he knows so much more about a situation than you do. And that why that you have, when you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord. Amen? But you can't let it be a giant roadblock here. You gotta just say, all right, Lord, I trust your word is true. I trust there's more to this that I do not know. I trust that your word is always true, that faith does work, and that I will not allow one circumstance, two circumstances, or three circumstances, or no matter how many, tell me that the word of God doesn't work. Because it does. And so you got to take those whys, put them on a shelf, and just tell the Lord, when I see you, I got a question. And he's okay with that. God's not offended by your question. He knows you. He knows you have it. But don't let it stop you from getting through your storm. Amen? Don't let it stop you. Keep looking to see what God's going to do. In Philippians 1:13-14, he says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Oh, isn't that powerful? Paul said, listen, I'm here, but while I'm here, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not going to throw anything out. He didn't throw. Can you imagine if Paul had thrown out the word of God while he was sitting in jail? If when the storm came and the battering came and everything came, he's like, oh, forget this. Forget this vision I had with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Forget it. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? Because if he had done that, we would not have Philippians, we would not have Ephesians, and we would not have Colossians. Some of the most powerful books in the Bible, we wouldn't have. But Paul held on. He held on and he got through the storm. And he did what God called him to do. And really, when we're in it, we got to focus on what really matters. What really matters? You know, if we've lost a job, but we still have our life and our family and our health, let's focus on what matters. Amen? If we've lost, you know, someone we love, let's focus on the time we had. Let's focus on what their dreams for our life was. You know, there was nothing that gave my mother more happiness and more joy than to have all of her family together around a table, a dining room table, filled with food, laughing. She would rather do that than go on any cruise, buy anything, you know, she would rather do that. You say, Mom, what do you want to do? We'll do anything you want to do. It's your birthday, it's Mother's Day, whatever you want to do, we'll do whatever you want to do. You want to go somewhere? You want to go on a cruise? You want to do this? Nope. I just want all you kids. I want all you to come over, and I'll cook, and you play cards. That's all she wanted. And so you know what we do now? Every week, on Thursday night, we all get together, somebody cooks, we sit at the table, and we laugh. Almost every Thursday. You know why we do it? We all have busy schedules. There's times that it doesn't work out. There's times that you don't feel like going. But we do it because it's what she would want us to do. That's why we do it. We do it because family was more important to her than anything. And families only stay together when you deliberately have intentional traditions you set and you keep. Without those, you draw away. You got to have those. So why do we do that? We do it because it's how we were raised. It's what's important in our family. We're not going to concentrate on what doesn't matter. We want to concentrate on what does. What matters? And you know, with Paul, what mattered most to him was preaching the gospel. And he had such an understanding of heaven and God that when they said, "We're going to kill you," you know what he said? Okay. He's all right, because if you kill me, I'll be with Jesus. So that's all right. And if I stay, I'll preach Jesus. And so they couldn't win for losing, so they let him live. They were like, well, if we kill him, he's going to be a martyr, and everyone's going to feel bad for him. And he's, you know, the gospel will spread even more, so we'll keep him, not knowing that his attitude and his understanding of what a storm was and how to get through one was so strong that he wrote the most powerful books of the Bible.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
He wrote the prayers of Ephesians. He wrote the prayers in Colossians. He wrote the prayers in Philippians. He wrote those while he was in chains.
Yes.
You can get through this storm.
Amen.
Amen? I can get through this storm. And we got storms that nobody even knows about. God knows. Don't throw out your precious cargo. Don't throw out your tackle. Stay on the boat and let God bring you through. Amen? You can live again. You can have those belly laughs again. You can have those dreams come true. If you've lost a family, God will bring to you what you have lost. God has a way of making up for what you feel like you missed out on. You know, I think about that, and I know Scott does too. You know, I mean, just naturally, we never had children. It just never worked out. It never happened. That's how it happened. And now I'm going to be 49. That ship has sailed. Right? That's gone. But see, God has a way of bringing into your life what you feel you missed out on. Because we got little ones who call us Mamaw and Papaw. We've got our Noah and our Kaylee and a Derek and Anaya and Declan. We have these little ones that God just brings into your life. And so whenever, you know, that little pity party starts to start, I think, we got to skip having the kids and we just get the grandkids. This is great. This is fantastic. And then when we get them all sugared up with 25 munchkins, that was Scott. We just say, okay, it's time to go home now. Time to go home now.
That's right.
Bye-bye. See you next week. See, God has a way. So if you're sitting here today saying, oh, but this and that, let God do what God does best. He brings a river to a dry land. And so next week we're going to talk about let's drink again. Let's drink from the river. Because what you need, God has.
Amen.
But we got to drink it in. Amen? He is the river of life. But we got to take some sips. We got to take some sips of what God has for us. Amen? But I encourage you, stay in that boat. Paul said if you'll stay in this boat, he'll get you to the other side. Don't jump out. Don't toss over. You know, in that lifeboat, they were looking for something else to save them. Listen, nothing else is going to save you. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can heal you. Only Jesus can bring that laugh back. Only Jesus can. You got to stay on the right boat. Amen. Don't fall for a counterfeit. Don't fall for self. I'll get myself through. No, you won't. You're just prolonging that storm. I'll just pretend it didn't happen. It did happen. And no amount of pretending can change that. It happened. You got to let God get you through. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every person here today. That, Lord, that we're all on the right boat. That we're not looking for something else to save us, to rescue us, to heal us. But, Lord, we're on the right boat. We're with you. And you know, if you're here today and you've been through some storms like we all have, I want to encourage you. The place to start is with a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never received him as Lord and Savior. You've never accepted the gift of salvation. Today's your day. Or maybe you're like so many and like I have been in the past where you've jumped over and you went your own way. You left the boat. You went your own way. You're trying to do it on your own. Your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. And today you want to get back where you need to be. Today's your day. So if you're here today to get born again for the first time, or maybe you're here today to reconnect with God. I say it all the time. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. He's always one step back. One step. So if that's you and nobody looking around, just out of respect for people, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I love what Rod Baker said. He said, when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. It's a decision maker. It shows I'm serious about this. I'm coming to the Lord for the first time, or I'm coming back to God because I wandered away. If that's you, raise your hand right now. I see your hand. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I see your hand over there. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I see your hand. God is so good. And he's so welcoming. If you've gone 1,000 steps, maybe say, oh, Peggy, I've gone so many more than 1,000. It doesn't matter. He's always one step back. And his love and his mercy is there for you as soon as you step back. God is there for you. And he wants to help you get through this storm. And so for those who raise their hand, let's just all say this prayer together with them. Say, Father God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me. I turn away from things of the world, and I turn to God. I believe that I am born again. I believe it in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo, isn't God good? He is so good. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings. Who's ready to give today?